Yeah, I'm so sorry. Okay, I'm going to call Philip right now. You can hang up on the on your mobile.
Okay,
we will be
that's
connected
right.
anyway. Okay.
Thanks.
Hello?
Yes.
Hello, Francisco.
Philip, first of all, I would like to say hi again because we had the chance to meet before. Once in Liverpool, the second time was in Lollapalooza, Chicago. I don't know if you remember that.
Oh, yes, indeed. Wow.
Yeah, you were...
Okay, well, I mean, we're like old friends now.
Right, and in different stages of your life as well, because you're releasing the first Familial, and then when you were promoting Weatherhouse, and now the chance to talk about this third album, so it's all right.
Absolutely, That's great. You've covered it all, Francisco.
That's all right, yes. Philip, I would like to... Well, thanks for your time for this interview with Rock and Pop in Santiago. And, well, I had the chance to listen to the album, Let Me Go. It's a soundtrack of a film by Paul Steele. And I have a few questions about the album in terms of... If it was a complex challenge for you, because you have instrumentals, you have short musical passages, you are not used to this kind of stuff in your solo career.
No, I take your point. I think for me, getting into the project of the film, you know, it had been something that I'd wanted to do for a while, would be to write film music for a film. But this project came along, and it felt like the right right film. It felt like it was telling a very important story, and it felt like the people who were making the film could really bring it to life, bring it to flesh it out, and they felt like good people to work with. So, as you say, there's a lot to learn, but in a way, it's kind of how I've always learned music, is on the job. That's how we've learned what we've done in Radiohead. And so, yes, I mean, there are things that I'd learnt over the course of doing my solo records, which I think fed into making this soundtrack. I certainly wouldn't have jumped straight into making a soundtrack without having made those records. And then other projects that I've done, like I wrote a piece for dance, for Rombert Dance Company, for a Merce Cunningham piece that they were doing, and that was a couple of years ago. So all of these things, I just felt, actually, you know, maybe I can do this. So when we started talking about the music, I think we were very enthusiastic about the project, and we had all these kind of ambitions for what we could do with it. You know, we wanted it to stand up as a record in its own right, but most importantly, it was there to support the drama in the film, support all those characters, and also, you know, without the thing, it wasn't just writing the instrumentals. There were the there was opportunity to write songs as well. For me, that was the first time I'd actually written a song for anybody other than myself. So there's a song on the record called Walk, and that has Lou Rhodes, who's lead singer from Lamb, she's singing that. And so, you know, actually writing the lyric for that was quite a challenge, because, you know, it's something that I felt I wanted to write, something that would sound natural coming from Lou, but it also had to fit within the kind of the narrative of the film, of the emotional content of the film. So all of these things, as I was going along, there was a lot to learn. And I produced the record as well. And so, you know, that's a... hadn't realized I was producing it at the time, but you get to the end of a project and think, oh, I've just produced that. And so I think kind of the... I think within the parameters of the film, you know, it was an independent film. And I think... going along with that, you have a limited budget with that. I mean, the film itself looks as though it was made with a larger budget, but you have to be very creative about the kind of financial constraints that you're working within. So ended up doing an awful lot more myself, but that's great, because then you just have to jump in and learn all this stuff as you're doing it. And so, yeah, I really feel like I've been on quite a journey with this soundtrack, and I feel it's ended up in a good place for the film.
Philip, did you have any preconceived idea of what a soundtrack would be before saying yes, I'll do it? I mean, if you take into account what we know about soundtracks, but in more commercial films, let's say, and the difference they have with the independent films.
I think one of the things that really appealed to me about this project was the fact that it was. It felt it was all about the emotional journey of the film. It wasn't kind of like about big action scenes. And so it felt very akin to what I'd been working on in my solo material. I don't think I could have done a project at that point, a film which would have involved, you know, huge orchestrations and following, you know, very closely scored to very quickly edited chase scenes or something like that. You know, that wasn't in my repertoire on this one. But this just felt very in tune with where I was coming from musically at the time. The soundtrack composers, which I've always really admired, they're people with these kind of big sweeping themes, people like John Barry or, you know, Lalo Schifrin, where it's kind of just these really complex rhythms and harmonies in there. Or somebody like Leonard Bernstein, where you've got these amazing melodies. And that's something I would like to aspire to. But it didn't feel that I needed to go there on this film, and this felt very much, it was a stretch making the film and making the soundtracks of the film, but it felt that my musical voice could fit in very, very well in amongst the kind of emotional content and the kind of the cinematography in the film, the tone of the film.
Philip, I would like to know how did you get involved with the film? I mean, in terms of did you have the chance to see the film beforehand, or just read the script and started to work? Did you get involved with the filmmaking in itself, just to get inspiration?
I was very lucky that, in as much as I came to the film very early on in the process. When Polly Steele, director, and Lizzie Pickering, the producer, initially approached me, they were just starting out. Polly had spent a lot of time writing the screenplay, and then Polly and Lizzie were just at that point of going out to start looking for funding for the film. But within that, I saw it develop from a script through the casting of all the characters and then through to watching the rushes of the film, to visiting the film set. So just kind of every new element that I came across kind of informed what I was writing. And so the actual bulk of the music, even though I was working on kind of the outlines of the films, of the themes as the film was being shot, the bulk of the recording came after the filming had finished. It's when they were editing the film.
Right.
And so by that point, I think I really had a chance to kind of live in the film, and it felt what I was doing. I felt it was a good place to do, to make something that would kind of resonate with what was going on in the drama. And so, yes, I mean, from the outset, I think we knew that we wanted to make it, allow it to work as an album in itself, ultimately. So, and I was working on, you know, longer pieces. I wasn't working to kind of, okay, so we've got 20 seconds of music, 20 seconds of film here that we need music for. I was actually writing the bigger themes so that they would work as pieces within themselves and would ultimately work as a record. And then as the process then went on, kind of once the edit was finished, I think it became very obvious where that approach was working, but there were some cues in the film which actually need to be specifically scored. So, you know, you'd say, okay, we've got a minute and a half worth here that we need, you know, particular kind of approach in the music. So just as having a whole range of experience throughout the film, you know, I couldn't have asked for a better experience.
It sounds like a very, very complex task you were involved in making this record.
Yeah.
Because it seems to be like something absolutely new and a very a learning process as well. You just mentioned Lou Rhodes singing in Walk, one of the songs. But tell me about the other people involved in the recording, the musicians.
One musician that I was working with on this record is somebody that I'd worked with a lot on my second solo album on Weatherhouse. Her name's Quinta, and she we also collaborated on the piece for dance that I did, so she plays all the things that you can hear. She's, you know, she plays some of the strings, she plays the musical saw, she plays some of the keys in there as well. You know, she's just a brilliant multi-instrumentalist, and just as with Quinta, you know, when I was working with a string quartet in there, I went to people that I'd worked with on Weatherhouse. So the string quartet on Weatherhouse was Elysian Quartet, and so I worked with those musicians again, and so that gave me a chance to work with the cellist from the quartet, is Laura Moody, and I worked with her on some of the string arrangements. So, yes, it was good to have that kind of network of musicians to bring into the soundtrack, and then also kind of, you know, what I play in there as well. It's a lot of different voices in there, I think,
right?
And you know, a lot of different instruments in there. But it feels, because it was a relatively small group of musicians, that it felt as though that kind of it had cohesion, because it, you know, it's coming from a quite a, you know, compact core of musicians.
Yeah, yeah. How much do you think you have improved your music skills having a solo career? Because you became a frontman with three albums on your own. You also are part of a very important band playing the drums, but now you be in charge of everything in this project, in solo project. How do you think you have improved? How much you have improved?
I think, you know, when you are kind of taking when you've got the overview on everything that's going on in a project, in a musical project, and all the kind of different aspects of the arrangement, of playing different instruments, you just get a better understanding of, it broadens your musicality. You get a better understanding of how songs hang together. And I think also it kind of really feeds into your confidence as a musician as well. Because so much, I mean, particularly about performance, is feeling sure of your of where you're coming from musically, and you know, without this experience, I don't think I'd be going out, you know, playing as I am and have been for this past couple of years in Radiohead. So all of these elements, they just move you on. And so I think so long as you have that sense as a musician that you're always, it's always kind of like forward motion. Some of it might sound a little bit raggedy along the way whilst you're learning what to do, but as long as you feel that you're stretching yourself, and that, as I say, that really builds up your confidence, and ultimately that allows for your own particular musical voice to come through.
Right, you find your voice. That's what you mean.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes.
Yeah.
You said in a sentence what it takes me for about 1,000 words to say. So.
How much do you think you have improved your music skills having a solo career? Because you became a frontman with 3 albums on your own. You also are part of a very important band playing the drums, but now you'll be in charge of everything in this project, in solo project. How do you think you have improved? How much you have improved?
I think, you know, when you are kind of taking the when you've got the overview on everything that's going on in a project, in a musical project, and all the kind of different aspects of the arrangement, of playing different instruments, you just get a better understanding of, it broadens your musicality. You get a better understanding of how songs hang together. And I think also it kind of really feeds into your confidence as a musician as well. Because so much, I mean, particularly about performance, is feeling sure of your where you're coming from musically, and you know, without this experience, I don't think I'd be going out, you know, playing as I am and have been for this past couple of years in Radiohead. So all of these elements, they just move you on. And so I think so long as you have that sense as a musician that you're always, it's always kind of like forward motion. Some of it might sound a little bit raggedy along the way whilst you're learning what to do, but as long as you feel that you're stretching yourself, and that, as I say, that really builds up your confidence, and ultimately that allows for your own particular musical voice to come through.
Right, you find your voice. That's what you mean.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
You said in a sentence what it takes me for about 1,000 words to say. So.
You know, Philip, I remember once you told me that you enjoyed listening to Juana Molina, for example, or Bonnie Prince Billy. Any other favorite artists you have discovered in recent years?
Oh, let's think. Melanie de Biasio, she's absolutely fascinating. I love kind of the impetus behind her music as well. Other things, you know, I love what Daptone do as a label, you know. I mean, they've very sadly lost Sharon Jones and Charles Bradley recently, but kind of that, just that sense of having this collection of a house band, this amazing other people. I mean, like Ghost Poet.
All right,
King Cruel.
King Cruel, I love it.
And then other bands I've seen play live over the past couple of years, bands like Pins, incredible live band.
Oh, yeah, they're from Manchester, I think, right?
That's right,
yeah.
And I went to see a band called Dream Wife the other night, small venue in Oxford, and they were fantastic.
Dream Wife, yeah, I know that band, yeah.
So just, it's amazing energy behind what they were doing. So I've been lucky enough to do, here in the UK, doing some radio shows over the past couple of years on Six Music.
Uh-huh.
I got to Guy Garvey from Elbow, and that's been a great process to go through, because have to go through and put your playlists together, but it's just such a great excuse for immersing yourself in a really broad selection of music and going out and really trying to find new music as well, you know, and kind of reconnecting with music that's meant so much to you, to me, over the years as well. So, yeah, that's a very, been a very rich experience doing that.
Philip, I have another question. It's related to what we were talking about before. It's during this process of songwriting, is it difficult to keep the distance from Radiohead sound when you're making your own songs?
Yeah, I think there's, with Radiohead, I think Radiohead is very particular to the musicians, a group of combination musicians who make that music. That gives it its tone, it gives it its kind of... it's unexpected twists and turns. I'm very much, you know, within that mix there. But then when you come and work outside of Radiohead, then you want to have that experience of working with different musicians, and they will take it in. Take your ideas and you respond to what they're doing, and it takes you in a different direction, I think. So there's something very particular to Radiohead, and I don't think you could kind of recreate that outside of the context of the musicians who make that music, and kind of wouldn't want to. You know, the whole thing is, yeah, I mean, that is kind of part of my musical voice, so yes, some of that will come through in what I do outside of Radiohead. But I mean, for all of us, whatever we do outside the band, it's got to take us somewhere different musically, because we can do Radiohead and Radiohead.
Right.
And about Radiohead, how do you take this nomination to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame?
That's very, very flattering. But I'm not sure if it's, you know, quite the thing that feels completely appropriate for us. It's not something we kind of ever really envisaged, but, you know... anything like this. I mean, it's just it's flattering to have the recognition.
I was told that Radiohead was a...
I'm so sorry. We have another journalist on the other line, so...
I need to finish the interview with one more question, and that's it. All right? I know we have limited time.
I'm so sorry. Yeah,
me too. Like in the studio, in the studio, it's the same thing. They are asking me to leave the studio right now. Okay, one more question and we finish. Okay.
Thanks, Francisco.
That's all right. Well, can you confirm Radiohead will be touring South America next year?
I can't confirm at the moment, but and it's something we would like to do, and it's something that we've been looking into, and hopefully we'll have be able to make an announcement soon. But no, there's nothing that can be confirmed at the moment.
Right. But you still have the tour, a Moonshade Pool tour, pending dates, let's say.
Yeah, as I say, that's still a work in progress at the moment. So But I mean, as soon as we've got firm plans, absolutely firm plans, then we'll make an announcement about it.
Philip Selway, I really appreciate your time. Hope we can meet again now in Chilean territory.
I would very much look forward to that, Francisco, and thank you for your time.
No, that's all right. Thanks for your time, mate. Cheers.
All right, cheers. Take care. Bye.
Bye.